Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe. Or, at least, on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
In the murky and tangled world of high-profile courtroom dramas, the stakes are never just about a single verdict. They're about public trust, about the very foundations of the justice system. When those foundations are shaken by mishandling, missteps, or outright manipulation, the consequences stretch far beyond a courtroom, threatening to unravel years of work, destroy lives, and shatter the trust we place in those meant to uphold the law. Such is the case with convicted fraudster Russell Lafitte and disgraced lawyer Alex Murdaugh, two men whose stories are intertwined not only by their crimes, but by the potential failures of the judicial process. The latest developments in their legal sagas reveal the critical importance of ensuring that every aspect of a trial is handled with the utmost care and integrity. Because when that doesn't happen, when even small cracks appear in the process, entire verdicts can collapse under the weight of legal appeals. For those following the story closely, Alex Murdaugh has become a household name, synonymous with corruption, deceit, and murder. Once a powerful lawyer in South Carolina, he fell spectacularly from grace following the brutal murders of his wife, Maggie, and younger son, Paul, in June 2021. But the deaths were only part of a much larger, darker narrative. Murdaugh was also involved in financial crimes of staggering magnitude, swindling millions from clients with the assistance of his longtime confidant and banker, Russell Lafitte. By the time Murdaugh was convicted of the murders, the intricate web of his deceit had become a media sensation, leaving the public shocked and appalled. Yet now, with a new twist in the story, it's not just the crimes that are grabbing headlines, but the possibility that legal errors might upend the very convictions that seemed so certain. This brings us to Russell Lafitte, who was convicted in November 2022 of bank fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy, and misapplying bank funds. He played a pivotal role in helping Murdaugh funnel money from clients who desperately needed the settlements they were owed, money that was siphoned off through shady deals and deceitful practices. For his involvement, Lafitte was handed a 7-year prison sentence, a punishment many believe fitting for his role in Murdaugh's elaborate financial schemes. However, what followed in the days after his conviction has now become the center of his legal appeal and may lead to the entire trial being thrown into question. At the heart of Lafitte's appeal lies a contentious issue that every judge, lawyer, and defendant fears: jury tampering and dismissal. It all started with a controversial 11th-hour decision by U.S. District Court Judge Richard Gergel, who made the choice to dismiss two jurors during deliberations. The jury had already been deliberating for 9 hours when Gergel received notes from two jurors expressing concerns. One juror stated that they needed antibiotics, feeling pressured by the situation, while another revealed they were struggling with anxiety, rendering them unable to make a clear decision. The judge's refusal to let the jury take a break or return to deliberate the following day, as well as his decision not to arrange for the needed medication, quickly became the focal point of Lafitte's motion for a new trial. And this is where things start to get messy. Instead of following what Lafitte's attorneys argue was proper legal protocol, Gergel made the decision to replace both jurors with alternates, without consulting the defense or allowing them to object. It was a move that immediately drew criticism. Gergel had left the courtroom with the ominous words, "I'm going to take action." Fair enough? Everybody happy with that? It was far from happy. When he returned, he announced that both jurors had been dismissed and replaced. Less than an hour later, Lafitte was found guilty on all counts. Now, the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is tasked with determining whether that decision and the entire trial was tainted by Gergel's actions. During oral arguments before the appellate court, Judge Toby Haytens questioned the judge's decision to dismiss the anxious juror without consulting Lafitte's attorneys. He described Gergel's statement about taking action as fatally ambiguous, suggesting that such a vague declaration from a judge in a moment of such importance was, at the very least, improper. Meanwhile, Judge Stephen A.G. seemed to agree, pointing out that while Lafitte's legal team was present for the initial discussion about interviewing the jurors, they were not clearly involved when the ultimate decision to dismiss was made. To fully grasp the implications of this, it's essential to understand the role of the jury in the American legal system. The jury is meant to be an impartial body, the final arbiters of guilt or innocence. Their role is sacrosanct, and any interference with their process, be it through dismissals, tampering, or manipulation, can undermine the very foundation of a fair trial. That's exactly what's at stake here. If the appellate court sides with Lafitte, his conviction could be overturned, leading to a new trial. And if that happens, it will serve as a stark reminder that even the most damning evidence can be rendered meaningless if the judicial process is not handled correctly. But Lafitte's case isn't the only one tainted by potential jury-related missteps. Alex Murdaugh, the man whose crimes captivated the nation, is facing his own appeal, also rooted in jury tampering allegations. In Murdaugh's case, the focus is on a former clerk of court who is accused of trying to sway the jury against him. Murdaugh's defense has argued that the clerk was part of a larger conspiracy to rig his trial, a claim that, if proven, could lead to the shocking possibility of his double homicide convictions being vacated. It's a scenario straight out of a legal thriller, but it's playing out in real time, and the consequences are monumental. If either of these men, Lafitte or Murdaugh, wins their appeal, it won't just affect them. It will send shockwaves through the legal system, raising questions about how many other cases could be tainted by similar issues. The possibility of retrials looms large, dragging victims and their families back into the courtroom and forcing them to relive the trauma all over again. In the Lafitte case, the appeal isn't just focused on jury dismissals either. Another point of contention is the issue of restitution. At sentencing, Judge Gergel ordered Lafitte to pay $3.5 million in restitution to the victims of his fraud, but waived the interest payments. Prosecutors now argue that this decision was incorrect, given that Lafitte has $10 million in assets and $5 million in liabilities, a clear indication that he has the means to pay. Though the government failed to object at the time, they now contend that this oversight should not be held against the victims, who deserve to be fully compensated for their losses. This raises yet another issue about the fairness of the trial and sentencing process. If the court sides with the government on the restitution matter, Lafitte's financial punishment could increase significantly, placing even more pressure on the already embattled former banker. But beyond the dollars and cents, the real issue is whether the trial was handled properly from start to finish. As with many high-profile cases, the court of public opinion has already weighed in on Lafitte and Murdaugh. To many, these men are guilty, deserving of their sentences, and the public scorn that has followed them. But in the legal system, things aren't so simple. The law demands that every defendant, no matter how damning the evidence, be given a fair trial. And if that process was compromised in any way, the consequences can be devastating. Looking forward, the appellate court's decision on Lafitte's case will set a precedent not just for him, but for how future cases involving jury tampering and dismissals are handled. Will the court determine that Gergel's actions were justified, or will they rule that Lafitte's rights were violated? Either way, the outcome will shape the legal landscape for years to come. Meanwhile, Murdaugh's appeal, with its claims of jury tampering, raises even more troubling questions. If the allegations are true, it would indicate a level of corruption that goes beyond the courtroom and into the very institutions meant to uphold justice. It would mean that Murdaugh, despite his horrific crimes, may not have been given a fair trial. A reality that could lead to the unthinkable. A new trial or even the vacating of his convictions. The Murdaugh and Lafitte cases are cautionary tales, not just about the dangers of crime and corruption, but about the fragility of the justice system itself, when rules are bent or broken, when jurors are dismissed without proper cause, or when court officials engage in misconduct, the entire process is at risk. And when the process is at risk, so too is the trust that the public places in the courts. In the end, the law is only as strong as the people who uphold it. And in these cases, that strength is being tested in ways that could change the course of justice forever.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
Well, I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.